I'm a parish priest in Brixton, which is in London. It's in one of the more challenging areas of London and of the United Kingdom. I'm also a member of General Synod and of our Diocesan Synod, and I sit on a number of local community groups, and I do training work for our local church and our diocese as well.
The issue of women bishops has caused such depth of feeling on both sides of the debate. We heard Archbishop Williams on Sunday talking of frustration and despair over the legislation. Tell us a little bit about what the atmosphere was like during this particular synod session.
Up until Monday, when the debate potentially could have gone to a final vote as to whether this legislation would go through, I think at this synod, we probably avoided the elephant in the room. We did have conversations at the February synod, and people have been waiting for this synod to probably make a final decision. However, it's been quite clear that there has been factionalism when the amendments that have been put in by the House of Bishops started to create a furore amongst traditionalists from the evangelical and the Catholic side, but also amongst the broad middle of folk who found that these amendments, at least one of them, would seemingly start to enshrine discrimination against women in primary legislation in the church and also on the legal statutes of this country, United Kingdom. So I think there's been a lot of going around the issue and not really wanting to confront the issue. But on Monday, it was obviously very clear that it had to be confronted behind the scenes. There have been meetings of various factional groupings, some to pray for a final vote, which would be throughout the legislation completely, some to strategize as to how to in a delaying tactic to allow more conversation, more discussion. Some of those would probably want it, the amendment thrown out completely anyway, but others amongst that broad group, as you would expect in an Anglican grouping, are happy to have a conversation about the way in which that amendment could be further amended and so therefore find a way to continue to be that via media as the Church of England or the Anglican Communion feels that it is.
And yet, up until this amendment that was included by the bishops in May, 42 out of the 44 Church of England dioceses were in favour. It seems like a huge majority. So why would the bishops want to put this amendment in?
It was said on the floor of Synod on Monday that, yes, 42 out of 44 had made their position very clear. It was also said that within General Synod, 35% of those who have voting rights are those who feel this amendment suits them, as opposed to 3% in the country at large. Now, that's potentially one of the issues that you see, the difficulty, because those who come to Synod do not necessarily have to represent the diocese which sent them. They can vote according to their conscience. So we have a bit of a problem between what is clearly in the country and in the diocese something that is very popular, something that is desired to happen as quickly as possible. And within General Synod, we have a position where a small group, who themselves say they are a small group, but they punch very much above their weight. And I think the bishops were very minded to try to square the middle, square the round, and find a way to suit everybody. But what they probably didn't consult well enough, probably didn't spend enough time even thinking about it themselves, they have potentially committed us to having primary legislation which is discriminatory. I think to play that back to the diocese that have sent us here and to play it back to the country is going to be a very challenging position for the Church of England.
So, Rosemary, what happens next? There's going to be an emergency session in November, I believe, isn't there?
There's going to be an emergency session in November, and between then and now, the House of Bishops asked for people to submit any wording that they might feel would be helpful. I certainly know that there will be many groups meeting to try to find a way forward. I feel that everybody realises that we really need to get this through. However, those in the middle feel that we have bent over backwards and again and again and again. So we are praying that there is some wording found that will enable us to continue to show to those from the conservative evangelical and from the traditional Catholic groupings that we continue to want a church that is inclusive and embracing of all of the people of God. And somehow what we feel, it was said on Monday in General Synod, we feel that the joy of our service has been drawn out of us. We feel that trust certainly appears to have been lost. And we feel that grace seems to be absent in the relationships. Somehow, if we want to be Christ to the world, have to find a way to be Christ to each other.
One of the reasons for opposing the legislation is the impact it would have on ecumenical relations with the Orthodox and Catholic churches. How much do you think this is being taken into consideration by supporters, by that middle ground who are keen to see this legislation through, do you think?
There was a comment about the Church of England has come out of a reformed church. And while I know that we believe in ecumenical relationships, I don't feel that those in that broad middle feel we need to be driven by it. We worry about the way that we are as church, in the specific and the particular, should be decided upon external to the organs of institution that is the Church of England. And so while we want to continue to have, obviously, cordial relationships with all our sisters and brothers from the Catholic and the Orthodox perspective, we certainly don't feel that they should determine, or the relationship with them should determine, how we become what we feel God is calling us to be in the particular of our church.
Can I ask you at a personal level whether this whole debate over women bishops has affected you and your own ministry there in London?
It hasn't affected me and my ministry, because I came into a church personally where many people were against having a woman priest. Over the last 5 years, I have served them faithfully, and I have seen people who left the church when they knew a woman was coming come back to the church and give thanks to God for my ministry. Sunday, before coming to Synod, I spoke to them at length about what this measure was about and what it would mean. And the journey of pain that we as a church had been through was a journey of pain that we may continue to have to go through depending on what would happen at Synod. They understood, I often say, they now get it. They want women bishops, and they are fully supportive of me and my ministry, and they want the Church of England to be more open at all levels.
So am I assuming that you're optimistic that somehow, in some way, this issue will be resolved by the end of the year?
I would have preferred more time. I think we needed a greater period of reflection. This is my first quinquennium. I've only been on Synod for 2 years. And I know that it's taken a lot of people a long time to get us to this, what people feel is almost a touching point, where we can almost see each other across a very, very slim divide, and we might be able to actually reach out and shake hands in the words of the peace that we do before every coming to the table for communion each Sunday, if that is your church tradition. So I think we're almost there, and I think that makes me continue to live in optimism. When I told you a little bit about me, I am a black woman, and I have seen through my life all levels of discrimination because of gender and because of color, and I still face some levels of discrimination today. But I live in hope that I have seen change, that I know it's possible. I'm always working towards that possibility, that hope, that grace. And that's the reason why I joined the Church of England. So I will continue to be positive and optimistic that we're going to get there. We'll go towards November, a lot of hope and a lot of work to do to swing some hearts and minds around, to try to get people to understand why this, which is already discriminatory, which is in the code of practice, don't want it on primary legislation, on the statute books of the Church of England and of this country as well.